Bill Fennelly's here. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast with Drew Mendel, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Manute.
We're back on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday morning. So great to see so many of you joining us live on our YouTube channel, the chat, chatting away. Nice to see that. Of course, we're also on all of our social media platforms. I'm your host, Drew Mendel, joined by Ezra Ginsberg, joined by Dave Manute. This segment is brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey, and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Located in the Quarter Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for over 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. Ezzy, with Passover coming to an end, you can definitely sink your teeth back into a not kosher for Passover Illegal Curve Sandwich. That being said, my favorite part of Passover was undoubtedly right in the heart of it when you went to visit our friends at Bagelsmith and had a big bagel, which is definitely not kosher for Passover.
No, it's not. And thank you for throwing me under the bus. So obviously,
right under the bus.
Rabbi Matt Leibel is not going to like to hear that I broke Passover. But yes,
did you ever Did you ever start Passover? Can you break it if you don't start it?
Hey, absolutely.
Hold on. I can throw Ezzy under the bus. On Sunday, I was driving down in River Heights, and I saw him walking into McDonald's.
Did you really?
Oh yeah.
Okay. First, you know what? You guys are terrible. Like throwing me under the bus, you know, twice, not just once. Like I was already thrown under the bus, and then Dave decided to.
I backed that bus right up.
Hey, were you with your kids or were you just going to McDonald's by yourself?
He was with the family. He was with the family.
Okay. I was getting Naomi and I were getting our kids Happy Meals. Okay. First of all, so there was no breaking Passover then. I did also go to Olive Garden this week, by the way, and have the breadsticks. So I've broken Passover a couple of times, but did have a Seder at my mother-in-law's house. I have been eating matzah, you know, did light the candles last night, of course. So, I mean, you know, I'm doing my part here, but yes, I've eaten bread three or four times over the last week.
Attaboy. Nice to see your dedication last that long. That's a funny comment from Mike in the chat who's saying, Ezzy, you need to find Jesus. I mean, I think we're all backwards on that front, but that's okay in any event. Before the break, I asked you guys, you know, what would you give up? What would you be comfortable giving up in exchange for David Savard? And want to see the answers coming in the chat room as well. So that question can be posed to the audience that are watching us on YouTube, listening to us, wherever you may be tuning into the program. What are you comfortable giving up? Specifics here, please. What would you be comfortable giving up for David Savard, Dave?
Well, I mean, like you're happy to give up draft picks, really. I mean, look, draft picks are important. You want to restock the cupboard. The Jets don't have a tremendous number of forward draft of prospects, right? You've got a ton of defensive prospects, and I listed them all previously when I was talking about the guys who aren't yet necessarily ready to make that jump up to the Winnipeg Jets. But you've got at least, you know, four or five good defensive prospects who are with the Moose, who are going to be, you know, within that organization, filling that area of need for the Winnipeg Jets for the coming years. In terms of forward prospects, though, you really just have David Gustafson and Christian Vesalainen. You know, Christian Reichel has an outside chance. He's a hard worker. But realistically, in terms of draft picks, Reichel and Vesalainen and Gustafson are your two guys. So you you always have to have an eye to the future. That's what Kevin Cheveldayoff has to do. He has to remember that you have to restock that cupboard, right? Like you've got Nathan Smith, who's playing right now in college. He's a Jets draft pick that could be, you know, turning pro, maybe not necessarily after this year, but soon. But that's one thing. So you can't just be like, well, just trade away your second and your third and dump it all and be done with it. Because again, eventually, I mean, I didn't mention Cole Perfetti. Of course, Cole Perfetti is another high end forward that the Jets have. But I just think it's one of those things that you need to just be cognizant of, is that you do need to restock the cupboard with quality young players to come up and eventually replace these guys. So, you know, but at the same time, I still think that the Jets are in a win now. You've got a Vezina quality goaltender in Connor Hellebuyck. You've got a dynamic forward group, and the defense is the one area, again, that, you know, you can call it whatever you want, but it's the one area we know you can try and sugarcoat it, but it's the one area that right now isn't the best for the Winnipeg Jets. So if that's the case, and you can make a move that's not going to impact your roster, then I think you do it. I think you trade away, you know, maybe like someone was saying, a second and a third. You know, you give back Columbus the third that you got in the trade with the Line A and Dubois trade, and you trade away your second. Or maybe it's a first. And again, like I said,
it's hang on. Are you comfortable giving up a first for a rental here?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
really? I am because, you know, look, I think that you, first of all, the Jets have done well in their drafting, right? Look at some of the guys. David Gustin's a second round pick.
Sure.
Right. I'm not suggesting that they haven't hit on all their firsts, but the Jets have done well. You know, Mason Appleton's a sixth.
Yeah.
No, Jadson Harkins is a second. Andrew Kopp's a fifth. So you've got guys who have found success in your lineup who aren't only first round picks. You've been able to do it because you have a very good scouting department. So I would be comfortable to give up the first because what Ezzy just said, you don't even know what the hell a first is going to look like because you could pick a guy in the second round who ends up being the best player in this draft. Most likely not the second, but the reality is you can give it up. I think because if you can get a guy like Savard and he's going to stabilize your defensive core and he's going to limit those high danger chances, I think you reward this group for what they've been able to do, which is compete with the top teams in the North.
Guys, it's fairly simple here. I agree with Dave. I mean, it's most likely draft picks that you're giving up for Savard. I don't know if it's going to require a first round pick. I'd be much more comfortable giving up a second rounder and maybe, you know, a 2022, you know, third rounder, or maybe, you know, you trade a player such as a Sammy Nikku and a second rounder, something like that. But yeah, if you're asking us, Drew, if you would give up a late first round pick for David Savard, I think I would do it because, you know, Savard is a guy that you can re-sign, first of all. Like that's something that you're going to have to factor in. He obviously won't have to be someone you protect in the expansion draft, right? So that you have that going for you. If you acquire a guy like Ekholm, whether or not Nashville trades Ekholm, you would have to, in theory, protect him, because why would you acquire him with a year left on his contract if you're not going to protect him, which would mean a guy like Dylan DeMello would have to be exposed in the expansion draft. Or I guess, you know, in theory, Logan Stanley as well. But I'm with Dave. I think you're talking about draft picks. And yeah, you've got lots of good young players coming up through the system, not just Ville Heinola, you know, not just Cole Perfetti, Dylan Sandberg. Dave talked about all these guys, David Gustavson, you know, Declan Chisholm, I think is an underrated prospect in the Moose system. Like you've got a Christian Vesalainen. I mean, we forget he's only 21 years old, right, guys? So at a certain point, you can't just hoard draft picks. So I think it's simple. If you think David Savard is going to possibly win you a round or two, move the pick.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I got to say, guys, I'm surprised to hear both of you say that you'd give up a first round pick for David Savard.
He's a good defenseman, Dave. Pardon me, Drew.
I'm Drew. Nice to meet you. It's only been, you know, about 38 years.
No, yeah, exactly. He's a really solid defenseman. Like, again, for those who aren't familiar with his game, this isn't just a big body, you know, that clears guys in front of the net. Like, this is a solid defenseman that can chip in a little bit offensively. I think he's only got one goal on the year, but I think his best year in the NHL was 10 or 11 goals. So, I mean, this is a good, solid defenseman. He's a guy that can slot in your top four. It could be Morrissey and Savard on your top pair if that's what you choose to go with. So, yeah, I mean, you might have to give up a first rounder. Look what the Tampa Bay Lightning had to do last year. What did they give up for Barclay Goodrow and Blake Coleman? First round picks.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm not saying the Jets will win the cup, Drew, if they acquire David Savard, but it makes the team a lot better.
And I'm of the opinion, and this is why I'm surprised you guys to say that. I think if the Jets were offering a first round pick, I think that the trade would get done pretty much as soon as that pick gets offered.
Well,
I think that's what Linus is holding out for, Dave.
Well, and that's fine. And again, like I said, I don't know what the market value is for David Savard. So that's why I'm saying, like, whatever the market value is, we're quibbling over whether it's a first, a second, a third. What I'm suggesting is we don't actually know what it is. And so if you tell me what market value is, then I'll tell you whether it's worth paying it or not. That's, I think, the crux of what Ezzy and I were just suggesting.
I'll tell you what's nice, having John Mattis on the show and getting another beard here in the screen.
Ezra, come on, man. You're killing me here. You've got me doubled up here, basically.
You know, John, there's certain things in life that you shouldn't be aspirational towards. And I think Ezzy's beard would certainly qualify as one of them. Pleased to be joined now on the show, on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, by John Mattis, the senior hockey writer for thescore.com, a good friend of the program. John, nice to see you on this Saturday morning. How are things? Hope everyone's well. Hope everyone's healthy.
Yeah, things are good. Different setup here. I've never seen you guys face to face like this. I realize it's not actual, you know, we're sitting at a coffee shop or something, but it sure is a little more human than on the phone. So great to be on, guys.
And we appreciate it. Yeah, when the corporate overlords decided that the radio station needs to cease to exist, we had to pivot. But this is what we've pivoted towards. And, you know, faces for radio undoubtedly, but there's still people are willing to stick with us despite our, you know, our good looks, or, you know, I'll call them the good looks at the very least. John, we were talking about the trade deadline and, of course, from the Winnipeg Jets perspective, because that's what we focus on here. I guess sort of on a macro level, we sit here 9 days away from the trade deadline. There's been the one deal so far, Eric Staal going from Buffalo to Montreal, which is, I think, really the definition of getting the hell out of a bad situation there. You know, from your perspective, as we sit here 9 days away, do you think that this sort of quiet lull that we're in is going to continue? Or do you think that eventually things are going to start to break and things are going to pick up and we're going to have a more, quote unquote, normal trade deadline in what has been a very abnormal year?
I say it's somewhere in the middle, my answer. I don't anticipate it being a normal trade year in the terms of the amount of bodies moved, the amount of picks moved, etc. Just because of, one, how the standings are lined up, two, the quarantining aspect of this all, and three, I just think that the market isn't great. Like, what's out there that you really want? Like, you're, like you mentioned, Dave, you've got Staal going to Montreal. It seemed like a big deal, but was it really? I mean, where are they going to deploy him? What kind of impact is he going to have? And you saw the return that Buffalo got. It wasn't anything special. Mm-hmm. So there's that to consider. And at the same time, it's the NHL. And as we get close to the deadline, every year we hear, this year it doesn't seem like much is going to happen. I don't know, guys. Like, you know, you hear the TSN and Sportsnet guys joke constantly about, well, I hope on trade deadline day we can actually talk about something and not just twiddle our thumbs on national TV. So there's a lot of that going on right now, and I think that that's probably not going to prove to be entirely true. I think there'll still be movement. I think if you look at a team like Toronto Maple Leafs, their GM's come out multiple times and said, I'm open for business. Some of my top prospects are on the table. If the deal is right, Rasmus Sandin, see you later. Timothy Liljegren, see you later. So there's some potential there, but you wonder if there are going to be some major deals stuck in purgatory, so to speak, where, I don't know, you have a player that you really want to acquire and, you know, he's got a family situation where leaving to come to Canada is like a big deal, and at the last minute it gets nixed, or you know what I mean? Like, I feel like every year there is one or two of those, and I feel like maybe we'll see a handful of those where there was nothing wrong in terms of the two teams figuring it out until the last minute when things had to be actually finalized. So it'll be interesting. I mean, there's some teams that I, in my opinion, are a cut above the rest right now that should be going all in. I think that Colorado, like, I don't know about you guys, but whenever I watch them, they're just such a buzzsaw. Last night against St. Louis, a really good team, they just completely control the whole game. And that happens fairly often. I realize they're playing the California teams, you know, a lot here, but it's pretty disgusting what they're able to do out there. So you assume, given last year's debacle in the playoffs where they lose both their goalies and have Michael Hutchinson playing in net, that they will not take a chance at that. So that's the way I'm looking at it from the real true contenders perspective. Is, even though this is a weird year, even though it's a year that we're going to look back on in the same way that we look back on lockout years, where it's, you know, it's still winning the Stanley Cup, but it's just not quite the same. It's a 99%, but not 100% there. You still might win the cup. So you got to push all your chips to the middle of the table. And I think that alone will cause some activity here. And hopefully there's a player out there that isn't being mentioned in the rumor mill that we see get moved that is of significant value, because let's face it, the players out there publicly on the market aren't super interesting or intriguing.
You know, John, you and I agree with you on that. I mean, like there is a, you know, a Taylor Hall out there and a Jack Eichel there. And I think you'd probably agree that, you know, there's higher likelihood that Hall gets moved as opposed to Jack Eichel, just because Jack Eichel is one of the best centers in the league. Obviously, the contract comes into play as well. But, you know, you mentioned the Leafs and, you know, the Jets and Leafs, you know, obviously just played a couple games and they've got four games left, including, a three-game series in Winnipeg. Like, just watching those two games and you know, kind of relating it back to the trade deadline, like, you hear that the Leafs might go after, like, a Mikhail Granlund, or you hear, like, a Kyle Palmieri. Like, watching that Leafs team last night and a couple of Wednesday night, it doesn't seem to me like they need either one of those players. Like, offense isn't the issue. Like, they look like a pretty, you know, well-oiled machine right now. Like, in your opinion, do they even need to acquire anybody prior to the trade deadline?
I think they would be fine up front and on the back end if they didn't do anything. I think in goal, like, they got to do something. I realize I can't. Jack Campbell's on an absolute tear right now, but let's face it, he was a career backup before he got the net because of Frederik Andersen's injury. So even though things are really rosy right now, again, like, if you circle back to Colorado, things really fell apart for them in the playoffs last year as a contender because of goaltending issues. And when you factor in COVID, which I realized was around last year too, but they were in a bubble. When you factor in COVID, like, what happens if, you know, Andersen and Campbell are going into the playoffs completely healthy and one of them ends up on the COVID list? Then it's just the one guy. I mean, I think they need insurance. I don't know if it's going out and getting a name that we're all going to be impressed by, but something. I think they need to add a goaltender. And the Andersen thing is a little weird because he hasn't had a good season, and now he's injured. You wonder about the confidence there. You wonder about, like, how he can sort of jump on a moving train here. Because I don't know about you guys, but one thing that I've thought about throughout the season is how difficult it would be for a goalie to be off, whether it is you're on the COVID list or you're off from an injury perspective this season, just because there's so many games happening. I feel like goaltending is more of a feel game than maybe a forward or defense. So we'll see what happens there. So I think goaltending is sort of the main problem or the main issue that needs to be addressed by the Leafs, again, acknowledging the type of run that Campbell's on right now. And then I think also you could say the same thing for their depth at forward and defense. Again, you know, below goalie on the pecking order. But when you look at this team and its trajectory and its window to win, this is their best chance in terms of contracts lining up. You know, Zach Hyman's value has gone through the roof this year, and they may lose him in free agency. So that opens up a hole on the left wing that is already bare. So you wonder what the left wing side looks like next year. You wonder if, you know, guys like Thornton are going to be back, Spezza are going to be back. Like, they've kind of found a nice mix here of acquiring these guys in the offseason, whether it's Simmons, Thornton, Spezza, Bogosian, and they've pretty much seamlessly transitioned into the team. Are all those guys going to be heading on all cylinders, so to speak, next year? Probably not, like, just based on the chances and the numbers and how old these guys are. So they've really got a nice sort of groove here. And again, like, you only have so many years to contend for a Stanley Cup. And with their core, Matthews as a top five player in the league, Marner as an absolute, you know, magician out there, you know, Ron and Brody and Muzzin on the back end. Like they're a pretty deep team at this point in time. So I think that maybe they don't swing for the fences. Maybe they feel like what's out there isn't worth trading a top prospect like Rasmus Sandin. And, you know, that's for Kyle Dubas to decide. But I think they should do something because we're going to be going into the reserves here in the playoffs with the taxi squads and whatnot. Because, you know, let's face it, like, there's some teams out there that are going to play a stupid amount of games down the stretch. The Leafs aren't necessarily one of them, but let's say they get a game postponed, another game postponed. All of a sudden, those are getting tacked on to the end of the season. So you wonder how that factors into what the lineups look like, how worn out these guys are getting. So the more capable bodies, NHL caliber bodies you can have on your team, whether it's on the real roster or the taxi squad, all the better.
20 minutes before the top of the hour, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on our YouTube channel and all our social media platforms. Our guest is John Mattis, senior hockey writer of thescore.com.
You know, John, a month ago you wrote about the upcoming NHL draft and what to take from it. And, you know, we were just talking about the value of draft picks and whether you should trade a first, a second, a third. And to me, it's a function of this is a year unlike any other where you really don't know what that value is. So what are your thoughts in terms of trading away draft picks? Because really, I mean, again, to my mind, while we know scouts are still scouting, it's been more limited than we've seen in the past.
Yeah, there's that, and there's the quality of the draft. I guess a part of that is impacted by the inability to watch these guys in person to get a really grasp on the full class. But from what I'm hearing, just the quality from, you know, the top of the draft to the end is just not substantial. You know, if you compare it to last year or years prior, it's when we look back in 10 years on the 2021 draft class, it's not going to stack up against, you know, 2003, which is an absolute juggernaut. So that's interesting, right? Because if you're the Leafs, for example, not to keep talking about the Leafs, but just because they have a first round pick and they may be in this market, I think giving away or trading away a first is a lot easier than in years past. I mean, on the flip side, you could argue that, well, you're getting this player that you're acquiring for fewer games because of the tight squeeze here after the deadline into the playoffs. And also there's sort of the underlying theme of, well, how good really is your team? Because everyone's playing just within their division. There's no litmus test of the Leafs playing, I don't know, Colorado, Vegas, St. Louis, those types of teams at least once or twice and getting a feel for where they stack up. The North is kind of perfectly suited for the Leafs as a division that doesn't have a ton of great goalies beyond, you know, the Hellebuyck and when he's on, Carey Price and Markstrom. And then the team defense across the division isn't great. So there's a lot of sort of weighing of the situation that needs to be done here. And I guess, Dave, to just, you know, kind of get more to the point with my answer, I think the value is when you juggle all the variables, it would probably be similar to a normal year, except that you have to factor in the draft class. So if, you know, a team comes to you and says, we'd like a first round pick, you counter immediately with, okay, I'd like it to be the 2021 draft, not the 2022. That's going to be a better draft, right? So I think that's how I would approach things if I was a GM, where you don't galaxy brain this too much. And if a player is normally worth the first, then you probably do it. That being said, though, I mean, let's look at the players that are out there in the rumor mill. I'm skeptical about Taylor Hall. Like, I would have Kyle Palmieri ahead of him. I would have Ricard Raquel. Let's assume that he's available and, you know, he's got terms, so that's always a tricky situation. Those two guys ahead of Hall. I just, like, Hall hasn't been the same since he had his MVP season. You know, he was in Arizona, didn't quite click there, goes to Buffalo. Obviously, that's been, a disaster to say the least. So it's like, what are we getting with Taylor Hall? Maybe he's, and this isn't to say he's a poor player, but, like, is he the star caliber that we thought he was? Is that sort of MVP cloud following him around and vaulting his stock? I just think Palmieri might bring a little more, I guess, dependability, or the probability of him working out is a little bit higher. So, but then you look down the list. I mean, Matthias Ekholm, first rounder. I mean, probably because he's got an extra year. But after that, it gets pretty weak unless you're getting into guys like Darcy Kemper, who obviously would be more of an investment, and that would require quite the package because he's a really good goalie. So compared to other years where there's some guys who are on the trade market that you're like, you know, we're starting with the first rounder and then we're working back from there. This year is a little different in terms of what, at least on the surface, is out there.
John Mattis of The Score is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media feeds. John, you were talking about the North Division, and you're talking about the Leafs and the Jets and, you know, the matchups. You know, there's no home ice advantage to speak of really this year in the playoffs. You know, the Leafs have been the class of the North the entire year. You know, how important are the matchups come playoff time? Or, you know, because it seems, I mean, we were talking about it earlier, you know, the top four is pretty much set in the North Division. I mean, it's 95% chance, you know, for the Jets and the Oilers and the Habs and the Leafs are 99%. You know, do you expect to see these teams maybe take their foot a little bit off the gas, you know, as we get a little bit later on in April here to try and sort of just ensure that they're almost healthy for the playoffs, so they're not, you know, the Jets and the Leafs, if they play at the end of April, aren't killing each other for really not any great reward at that point in the season?
I think that makes sense. I mean, it's a little tricky because you don't want to take your foot off the gas too much, and then you're going into the playoffs a little too confident or a little too laissez-faire. But I think you're onto something there. when you look at the top four there, I don't think it's moving, especially with what's going on in Vancouver right now. Like, I don't know how they're going to, you know, first of all, recover from what's going on with the virus spreading throughout their team in general. You know, that's first and foremost. But also, just, you know, how is that team going to look when they return to the ice? Are they going to have an NHL roster, essentially, right? And you know, when they even have their best players, they're not in the top four based on this season. So I think the top four, unless Calgary goes on an absolute tear, and that's going to be difficult because they're going to have to beat a lot of good teams here. I think that top four is solidified. So then you're looking at Edmonton, who is really like the most interesting team in the division heading into the deadline season, because if you're looking at their cap friendly page, this isn't the season that you trade and you make big changes, because this offseason you're losing a lot of players to free agency. You can almost do the refresh this offseason, pick up a guy, and really, really go after the cup with McDavid and Draisaitl next season. That being said, McDavid and Draisaitl are having insane seasons. So do you want to, you know, again, lose another season with those guys? So they're really interesting in terms of, like, what do they look like after the deadline? And obviously they're getting great goaltending from Mike Smith. That's a huge factor. And if that continues, I think they're something to be feared. Montreal kind of sneaking around right now with 33 games played, where the rest of the division is at 37, 38. So they're sitting pretty, and they're going to have a lot of games here coming up. So they're one team for sure to keep an eye on in terms of resting players and kind of, I guess, you know, strategizing towards the playoffs in terms of lineup decision and whatnot. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I think, you know, Toronto since the start of the year has been the best team in the division. I don't think there's been anything to dissuade us. They had a bit of a bump in the road, a few weeks back now, where they went on a bit of a skid. But the one thing about them that I've been impressed by is in years past, when the going gets tough, when in a game they kind of fall apart, they really fall apart and they lose, you know, 5-1. This year, you know, if they lose, it's going to be, you know, 5-4, it's going to be 5-3. There's a little more pushback, and also just protecting the lead when they have it, and being a little tighter defensively. So I think Toronto's the team to be aware of in that division. Then I think from there, maybe Montreal and Winnipeg, Edmonton, maybe in the third tier. It's kind of hard. It gets really mushy after Toronto. But in terms of playoff matchups, I mean, at this point, even if I just put my hat on for the Winnipeg Jets, I don't know what's the favored opponent in the first round, you know, if you're given that choice. So to me, it's kind of like, you know, you're going to make it to the playoffs, and then you've got two rounds to get out of the Canadian division, and then you're in the semifinals. Like, that's a really enticing opportunity given how tight these teams are, while also acknowledging that Toronto's maybe a cut above.
John, just one last question for you here, just kind of moving away from the Canadian division. I know that, you know, that's kind of tough to do because it seems like we've been in that North Division vacuum since mid-January. But, you know, I wanted to ask you about Florida, right? Because there was that scary injury with Aaron Ekblad in his knee and stretchered off, and it was announced he's going to be out for 12 weeks, which basically means, you know, he's probably going to miss the majority of the playoffs. If Florida does end up going far, maybe he comes back. But going back to what you were saying before, like, we know the big names out there on defense, right? David Savard or Matthias Ekholm, or you can throw in, you know, I guess, you know, somebody like Jamie Oleksiak, Vince Dunn on St. Louis. But what does Florida do, right? Like, what could they possibly do? You're not going to replace Aaron Ekblad, who's having a great season, by the way. But, like, you're tied for first place right now in that Central Division, right? Like, you're right up there with Tampa Bay and Carolina. They have to do something. I think they're fourth overall in the league. They've been probably the biggest surprise of the year. Like, don't you have to do something? Like, you want to go on a long playoff run. And like you talked about with Toronto, like, why isn't this year the year that you could go on a long, long playoff run? So do you see them going after an Ekholm or Savard if Ekholm's available? But, like, what can you do there? They're kind of in a tough spot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you brought them up, Ezra, because they're really intriguing, where this is a franchise that's been, I don't know if a laughing stock is the right way to put it, but close to it in terms of making the playoffs and being a team that has any sort of mojo or swagger, right? Like, Barkov and Huberto having great seasons, you know, all the power to them, but including Ekblad, like, if you go back over that Coors tenure in Florida, it's been nothing. It's been, you know, just goose eggs for them. So I think, you know, with a new GM in Bill Zito, you assume that there's players on his roster that he isn't married to, that was part of the old regime, that he's willing to move out to maybe acquire someone who is more up his alley and may push them a little closer to being, you know, solidified heading into the playoffs. So there's that. I think, as I mentioned, the lack of success in that market, you have to capitalize on what they've done this season. I don't care if it's this weird setup and it's, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the playoffs. Like, and I realize there's not a ton of Florida Panther fans out there compared to other markets, but ones that are, like, reward these people. Like, it's insane, right? It's kind of like with Arizona, whenever they get close, it's like, push, you know, get there. Buffalo Sabres, if we're talking next year around this time about how they've rebounded and they're close to the playoffs, like, get there. You know, you don't have to hemorrhage your whole future, you know, maybe safeguard things like first round picks. But if you have to package, you know, a second and a third to acquire a guy, do it. Because you need to really keep people happy in your market. Otherwise, what's the point, right? So I think Florida's super interesting. It's really unfortunate with Ekblad. He was having a phenomenal season. Really, if you go back to last year, he had a really strong season as well. And, you know, they struck gold with Carter Verhaeghe. You got to give them props. Whatever it was, Zito, who thought that was a good idea to sign him to a 2-year deal there for, I think, a million a year. Or if it was the analytics team or a pro scout, whatever, whoever it was, they deserve a raise because he's worked out fabulously. And then you go up and down their lineup and they're looking a hell of a lot better than they have in the previous 5 years or so. So I think they have to do something. Again, this all sort of relates back to, you know, it's easy for us to say from the outside, go all in. It's easy for us to say, you know, trade that first round pick. But like, what's the timeline for Bill Zito? He came in here. He's new. He could be, you know, raring to go and saying, yeah, let's do this. Like we're talking about the Panthers. But maybe his original plan was, hey, let's peak in, I don't know, 2023. Oh, okay. Well, this is throwing a wrench into things. Maybe I'll ease into the pool a little bit here at the trade deadline and go from there. So we'll see what happens, but really, you know, they're a team to keep an eye on. Like I mentioned before, Colorado, just based on really, I think they're very, very dangerous. And then the cup window is a real thing. You want to be very cognizant of that. I think Vegas is very good. The New York Islanders, I mean, watch out for them lurking with Anders Lee on LTIR and having some space there. So there's certainly some teams, like even though it's a weird year and it's a little mushy in terms of identifying these teams that are elite because everyone's playing only a select amount of teams. But there are some where you're going like, come on, let's go. Let's get into the mix here.
John Mattis is the senior hockey writer for The Score. He's a good friend of this program. John, appreciate your time. Appreciate your insight. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Good to see you on the screen as opposed to hearing your voice only. And we'll do it again real soon.
Yeah, awesome, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Take care, John. All the best. There he goes, John Mattis here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday morning. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined by Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Manuk. John's appearance was brought to you by Boston Pizza. Boston Pizza has the perfect starting lineup tonight with the BP Game Day Meal Deal. Choose two of your favorite medium gourmet pizzas along with a triple order of Boston's famous wings, plus two dipping sauces, all for $54.99. It serves 5 to 6 people. Available for takeout and delivery only at bostonpizza.com or download the MyBP app.
What are your favorite dipping sauces, Drew?
Well, you know, I'm not a big wing guy, to, you know, first and foremost, so I would really rarely order wings. But, you know, generally speaking, if I'm ordering a dipping sauce, I mean, I'm a honey dill guy. Yep. I enjoy sort of a good garlicky dipping sauce of some sort.
Yeah. What about ranch? Do you like ranch? Well,
I know that you bathe in ranch, so I don't want to insult you by not paying props to your bathing technique. But, you know, generally speaking, ranch is, I'm a ranch guy when it comes to carrots or celery. Yes. Oh, yeah. You know, something like that.
Yeah, give me that ranch. Like I will bathe in that ranch dip. That yeah, comes in the veggie tray. Yeah. But I'm on team honey dill. Like I love honey dill with my fries. Sometimes I just, you know, like to take, you know, spoonfuls of it. You know, I love it. So
I'm yeah, the spoonfuls thing is something you probably want to consult a doctor about before going ahead and doing that.
Or a nutritionist.
Yeah, a nutritionist, really anybody that I would really talk to about that. The Jets, we know, were supposed to play Sunday and Tuesday against the Vancouver Canucks. Those games postponed. The Vancouver going through a serious COVID situation that sounds like it's still going to continue to get worse before it gets better. We send our best to everybody in Vancouver dealing with that, of course. Ottawa here on Monday, the only Jets game between last night's loss, shootout loss to Toronto, and Thursday night in Montreal. Is it Laurent Brossoit on Monday for you guys? Really give Connor Hellebuyck that really big chunk of time off? Maybe Brossoit bounces back from the poor performance last Saturday? Or do you think that it's Hellebuyck because there's really no reason not to play him Monday against the Senators?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, to me, I think Paul Maurice isn't worried about Laurent Brossoit. He was asked about that. He was asked about whether he was considering going after that game, his last game, whether he would go back to Laurent Brossoit. And he said, no, he said, he's not worried about him. With the performances that he's put in for this team this season, he's entitled to have one bad game. And the goaltenders have been good, and the goaltenders have, are largely the reason why the Jets have been able to achieve what they've been able to achieve this season. But we know Connor Hellebuyck wants to play. We know Connor Hellebuyck doesn't like big breaks between games. And does he really need the rest right now? Is he overtaxed? I don't think so. I think that if you're Connor Hellebuyck, especially knowing you're going to have some time off in between those games, I could see them going back with Connor Hellebuyck on Monday. And then, again, you'll see they have I think one of the games on the road trip is a back-to-back, correct?
Not on this road trip, no.
No, but it doesn't matter. They'll get Laurent Brossoit in probably one of those Montreal games. They'll probably – my guess would be they go Hellebuyck.
Pardon me, I'm Monday. Wrong. The Wednesday, April 14th and 15th is a back-to-back.
Okay,
I apologize
okay.
for that.
Okay, anyways, but so you know Laurent Brossoit is going to get one of those games. And again, he may get one of the Montreal games. But to your point, Drew, I could see them going in, give Hellebuyck that time to rest, and then, but then again, if you think about it, then you're probably going to play Hellebuyck, you play him four or five out of those games on the road. So, I mean, again, you can't really go wrong this season with either of the goaltenders. I think both have shown Ezzie that they've been able to step up when needed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good question that Drew brings up because, we've been seeing so much Hellebuyck, right? That you kind of forget that, Brossoit would like to get in for a game. So yeah, I do think there's a chance that Brossoit plays that game on Monday against Ottawa, which obviously, we didn't know about until a day ago that there was going to be a game on Monday. Right. And Dave's right. Yeah, you're going to see Brossoit in one of those games against either Ottawa or Toronto. I would probably lean towards, Ottawa for obvious reasons in that back-to-back. But yeah, I think if Brossoit doesn't play Monday, Drew, put it this way, I think there's a good chance he gets one of those games on the road against Montreal.
The reason why I think it's possible that we see Brossoit on Monday, even though it's not a game that you would quote-unquote typically expect to see him, is that, had Vancouver been here Sunday, Tuesday, I think that you likely would have seen Brossoit in one of those two games, even though it's not a back-to-back scenario, just because you get him back into the swing of things. You don't necessarily want him sitting for, 3 weeks at a time, between games, because it would be pretty close to that. He played last Saturday against the Flames, and we know that that third period went quite poorly for him. And then he wouldn't play again until that back-to-back in the middle of April. So I don't know if that you necessarily want your goalie being out of the lineup for just under 3 weeks without playing a game. So Monday he gets that opportunity when he was likely to get an opportunity either Sunday or Tuesday against the Canucks. So, I mean, I think it sort of makes sense. But, again, to your point, Dave, Connor Hellebuyck wants to play. And are you hindering your team? I mean, no disrespect to Laurent Brossoit, but are you hindering your team by not playing your best goaltender against an opponent just for the sake of it? I mean, there's no real reason not to play Hellebuyck aside from, wanting to just maybe give Brossoit, throw him a bone, let him bounce back after the poor performance against Calgary. But that's been so long ago now that he's probably put it aside. I don't think he's sitting there necessarily stewing about it or anything.
No, absolutely not. And, again, I don't think you're ever you're putting Laurent Brossoit in if that's, where you kind of penciled him in to go, right? Like, we know that, this is a fluid situation here, but we know that, Paul Maurice has a schedule that he's sticking to, even though that might change. So if we don't see Laurent Brossoit on Monday, we might see him in that first game against the Canadiens on the road. But we've got Marty on now, so I'm going to stop talking.
There you go. We have a different goaltender joining us on the program now. Our good friend Marty Biron is joining us from Buffalo. He covers the Sabres for MSG. You also know him from his coverage on both TSN and RDS. Marty, good to see you on this Saturday morning. A happy Easter to you and yours. Thanks so much for joining us.
You know what? Thanks for having me, guys. You're catching me in my office. I know everybody likes to be in their offices when they do these Zoom type, you know, meetings. This is my office. My car is my office. So you're catching me in my office.
Are you driving the kids from practice here, there, and everywhere, or you know, is it just you're running your Saturday morning errands?
I'm doing delivery, so I had like about 17 big boxes in the trunk just a minute ago to bring to a store, and my son was helping me with that. So that's what we're doing.
Well, that's good. We appreciate you making some time for us in between your deliveries as an Uber driver or whatever it is that's going on with those deliveries there, Marty. Obviously brought you on, talk a little bit about goaltending, look around the NHL. We have to start with what happened in Buffalo. They won a game. And, I mean, without sort of, you know, delving too deep into what has obviously been a tough year with the Sabres between COVID, between the coaching change, between the struggles on ice, what's it like for a player to just be mired in a slump, the likes of which that Buffalo was mired in? Is it just that you're dreading going to the rink on a daily basis when things like that happen?
I was going to say, I think Marty was frozen.
I'll tell you this. I was on a 10-game winless streak 1 year, and that was about as long as you could ever imagine. It felt like it was the whole season. So I just moved because I think I was in a bad spot. So anyway, so I was in a 10-game winless streak with the Flyers. We were first in our division when we started. We ended up last when it ended. It's awful. That was awful. It was the longest time ever. Hated it. But, you know, we got through it. So I can't imagine what it's like for the Sabres to be on an 18-game winless streak and finally that win. And that's still like you're making the playoffs. And especially in COVID bubble and the protocol this year where you can't go to restaurants, you can't go to movie theaters, you can't go visit your friends. It had to be the best time ever for to be able to go through it.
You know, and Marty, just, you know, sticking with the Sabres, because obviously you're very familiar with the organization and you played for the organization. And, you know, as you mentioned, I think we might have lost Marty there. So hopefully we'll get him back on. He's doing his deliveries with his son. So, you know, it's.
You got to wait. You got to right now.
I was like, well, Marty is driving and doing this interview. That is multi-talented.
I think Marty just got sick of us.
Yeah.
That sounds about right, though. I mean, usually one question and most of our guests are sick of us. So hopefully Marty will be able to reconnect and we can get him back here on the show.
Can't even imagine what it's like to be in Buffalo.
It was getting to the point where it was almost cringeworthy, especially that the game before, the last loss in the losing streak, where they had the lead against the Flyers and, you know, and looked like it was going to end, and then they blow it late in that third period. That was getting to be really painful to watch from the Buffalo Sabres. I think Marty's trying to reconnect, so hopefully we'll be able to get him back in. If we can't, then
there you go.
Marty, I think we got you back on the screen now, and, you know, if it's not going to work, then so be it, but are you there, Marty? No, looks like Marty might be frozen again. So we'll try and work through these technical difficulties. You know what it's like sometimes when things like this happen. These new technologies and driving around are maybe not conducive.
Oh, there we go. Oh, we lost him again.
Oh, looks like we lost him again. Oh, hang on.
Oh, he's back.
Yes, no, maybe.
We're working hard to get that Wi-Fi going.
Yeah.
Need to send the Canadian Wi-Fi over to Buffalo.
That's right. The Wi-Fi is in COVID protocol, unfortunately, right now. So, Marty, I think you're still frozen. So we'll try again in a little bit. You know, Marty Biron, obviously, we appreciate his efforts trying to join us in and around a busy day for him, undoubtedly, here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You know, gentlemen, we talked about Lauren Persois. We talked about the Jets there, you know, with this upcoming game against the Ottawa Senators. You know, you look at the month ahead for the Jets, and we've talked about it sort of throughout the course of the show. You know, the back-to-backs, the 3-day break, the 2-day break, not a time, you know, there's some time off, probably more than the Jets were necessarily expecting. But, you know, it's going to be a very interesting month for this team. I think that, you know, the next 2 weeks for me, if the Jets can continue to play at the level that we're expecting seeing from them for the next couple of weeks, then they're going to be in an even better position than that. You can almost, I'm going to say, recalibrate what you need to do over the last couple of weeks of the regular season and going into the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you don't want to look past, you know, this upcoming road trip and to those games against the Leafs. But we know, guys, that those games are going to be absolutely crucial, especially, you know, considering the Jets lost these last two games to the Leafs. Those are going to have big time implications in terms of, you know, whether the Jets are able to catch the Leafs. But yeah, you're right, Drew. I mean, you know, this is a playoff team. You know, I think Marty's popping on. See, Marty wants back. See, here we go. I think we got Marty now.
Can you hear us now, Marty? He seems to be in the woods, so he's moved from the car.
There we go.
Oh, there we go.
I'm alone. I don't want to leave you guys out. I moved
out. We appreciate the effort.
I'm literally stealing the Wi-Fi signal from the business I'm at right now. I'm stealing the Wi-Fi.
We appreciate it, Marty.
That's dedication.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? We all have to share, right? So if they want to share their Wi-Fi with me, I'm all good with that.
That's beautiful, Marty. We were obviously talking about the Sabres and the losing streak and how difficult that was. And you mentioned that you were going through, when you were a player, you went through a losing streak where it just felt like misery sort of day after day. And so it must have been such a relief for the Sabres to just get that win, no matter what happens the rest of the year, just sort of almost to be able to breathe again and not have that the crushing weight sitting on their chest.
It had to feel so good. And I'll tell you this, like, this was an NBCSN game in the U.S., so we did not cover it. So we have now a 19-game winless streak with our MSG broadcast, and I'm feeling it. And the Sabres got to win one game, so they put that in the past. So me and Brian Duff are feeling it right now. Tonight, they played the New York Rangers again. I'm like, okay, that's got to be our Saturday night. We want that win. Not for the players. We want it for us and our fans that are watching us on MSG in Buffalo. So, the players had to be feeling it. I'm feeling it. So I want more wins.
Yeah, Marty, and I have to take credit, right? The Sabres won right after I texted you to come on Illegal Curve. So I think we should get a little credit for that as well. No, I'm just obviously joking. But, you know, just one more question about the Sabres.
No,
and then,
I'm giving you the credit. You are the reason. I am giving you credit for that one for sure.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And just one more on the Sabres, and then we want to ask you, you know, some other questions. But, you know, 9 days away from the trade deadline, I believe that you're going to be, you know, covering it for TSN. Hopefully James Duthie doesn't get too bored there in Toronto. But if you're Kevin Adams, like, what do you do? Because obviously Taylor Hall's name is out there. He might be moved. But you also hear, you know, Jack Eichel's name might be out there. Like, are you just making one or two moves, or what do you do here? Because obviously the Sabres aren't making the playoffs, but there's a you know, that word rebuild, even though the Sabres have been rebuilding for quite some time now, it just keeps popping up.
What I would do if I was me, I would look at all my unrestricted free agents and I would look to trade them. And that means you're talking about Taylor Hall, you're talking about Brendan Montour, Tobias Reeder, Riley Sheehan. I like Montour. I think he could be a guy on the blue line here for quite a few years with Buffalo. But if you can't come to an agreement, then you got to get something in return, right? So I would do that. Second, you know, you may look at Sam Reinhart and Rasmus Ristolainen, and although the insiders are all saying that the Sabres are not entertaining those two being moved. But if the right package comes, I mean, the Florida Panthers lost Aaron Ekblad. They're looking for a right D. If they want to put a right package together and go and get Ristolainen, then you have to do it, right? Or Sam Reinhart now is playing center because Dylan Cousins is out, because Jack Eichel is out, because Eric Staal got traded. Well, maybe a few games at center, and then there's more value in Sam Reinhart than just being a right wing. So I don't know. I would look into it. I don't know that I would do it if the price is not right. Maybe that's more of a summertime thing. But anybody that has an expiring contract in Buffalo, I think, is on the table right now to get whatever you can get for.
You know, Marty, Jack Campbell's having an unbelievable season right now in Toronto. He's taken over. He's 8-0 as a starter for the Leafs. If you're Kyle Dubas, do you have confidence in Jack Campbell? Because there's still talk about the Leafs needing to acquire a goaltender. Do you think that he would have sufficient experience to be your guy to go in, especially knowing that the North is very winnable this season for the Leafs?
Well, If I'm the Leafs, I feel comfortable with Jack Campbell as a goaltender. I just don't know that I feel comfortable with Jack Campbell when it comes to injuries and all that he had to deal with in the past. So if he's 100% healthy, yes, absolutely. But you saw the game last night. He played really well against the Jets. And when he looked banged up again, he looked like he didn't even celebrate after the game. He was like, oh, like his body looked like it was sore. So can you play 7-game series and 4 of them when your body's not recovering and is not 100% healthy? So that's a concern. I think he's a really good goalie. And I think he would be fighting Freddie Anderson for the number one spot in net starting when the playoffs start. So, but the health of Jack Campbell, the health of Freddie Anderson is a question mark. So do you rely on Michael Hutchinson then? I think you may have to look for somebody maybe more established to be able to help if you have some answers on Freddie Anderson and if they're not good.
Marty Biron is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday morning. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. You know, Marty, here in Winnipeg, everybody's, you know, hot and bothered waiting for the Jets to try and acquire a defenseman to shore up the back end. You mentioned Brandon Montour, and this is a guy that the Sabres had high hopes for, bringing him over from Anaheim in a deal a couple of years back, pending unrestricted free agent. You know, what's the best aspect of his game? And is this a guy who maybe can elevate his play if he gets to a new situation, if he gets to a new market in a place like Winnipeg in the heart of a playoff battle?
Well, like I said, I wouldn't trade Brendan Montour. I would try to sign him again here in Buffalo if I could, because I really like him. Here's the thing. He can play both the right side D. He can play the left side D. He's a very good puck-moving defenseman. He skates extremely well, provides offense. He's not the best defensively, but he can skate, so he can defend quite quite successfully as well. So I would definitely look, if I was a team that needed reinforcement, I'm not looking as a 1-2 defense, more of a 4-5-6. Brendan Montour could fit in perfectly in that, could help on the power play, could play 18, 19 minutes if you need him to. So that's what he can do. He can play both right, left D's, or right shot defense, and he skates really well. So I think teams would love that.
Marty, just a few more questions. I wanted to ask you about Carter Hart, because Alain Vigneault, you know, gave him the 2-day break. He's going to start tonight versus the New York Islanders. You know, obviously the season hasn't, I think you'd agree, it hasn't gone, you know, the way he'd like. And he's obviously still a young goaltender. But what have you seen from Carter Hart? There were some that were picking him to possibly be a dark horse for the Vezina Trophy. Like, in your opinion, kind of what's gone wrong with him? And do you think this 2-game break is going to benefit him and he's going to come out with a really good performance against the Islanders?
I would have given him a longer break. Personally, I think he needs to get himself moving again. He's really good technically. He knows how to play the position. But the best goaltenders in the league right now, they battle. They have that sense of urgency. They battle. Carter Hart doesn't. Carter Hart is slow in that right now. He needs to find that gear in practice. You don't find that gear in games. You find that gear in practice. And that's what Alain Vigneault said. He needs to practice harder. He needs to practice better. Well, 1 week may not be enough. Now, he may go in and play really well, or he may go in and play really poorly. I think he needs to continue to work on his practice habits, because this year, it's kind of a written-off year right now for Carter Hart, but he needs to get back to the level that he can play, and the Flyers need him to play for next season. Listen, I had him on my list for Team Canada. So now you end up with, Mackenzie Blackwood maybe as a third goalie for Team Canada instead of Carter Hart. That's nobody was thinking that before the season started.
Marty, the big trade of the season obviously was the Line A trade from Winnipeg to Columbus, but there hasn't been a tremendous amount of activity, and we were thinking that because of the quarantine here in Canada, that maybe the trade deadline wouldn't be, you know, the trades would happen before the trade deadline. Are you anticipating that it's going to heat up a little bit, because it has been rather quiet so far?
I think it's going to heat up a little bit, but the market is very, very weird this year. The prices are not where teams want them, so are you going to settle for a third or fourth round pick when you were expecting a second rounder? So I think that's the problem. The other thing too is people were saying, well, with the 14-day quarantine in Canada, maybe teams should make deals 14 days up to the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. But now with the 7-day, and in the US it's very different, even if a Canadian team's make a trade, they're still going to get that player for 7 or 8 games to finish the season and then the playoffs. So I don't think teams are worried about the quarantine rules. I don't think teams are worried about, you know, having to charter players in and then go through the COVID protocol. I think teams are going to go all the way to the last minute of the trade deadline. Why? Because the prices are not right. So they're going to wait to see if they can get the price that they would want. And they'll wait until Monday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon to get that done.
Marty, we'll let you go on this final question. Here in the North Division, it really seems pretty clear who the four playoff teams are going to be. Toronto and Winnipeg, Edmonton and Montreal. You know, the Jets really, you know, the Jets have Connor Hellebuyck as their clear-cut number one goaltender. You know, the other three teams, you know, have some question marks. Carey Price, you know, still obviously ahead of Jake Allen, but Price has had his ups and downs this year. You know, come playoff time, do you think the Jets maybe have an advantage over the other teams, knowing that they have that no doubt in goal with Connor Hellebuyck, or do the other teams, you know, Montreal maybe with Carey Price, you know, finding his game again? Can they, are they maybe a bit of a dark horse right now, having just sort of come out of their COVID situation?
I'll tell you this. I think the team that's really at a disadvantage is Toronto, because we talked about the Jack Campbell, Freddie Anderson situation. I think the Edmonton Oilers know it's Mike Smith. And Mike Smith, he may steal your game, but he won't win you a series. But he's their best option right now. So Mike Smith in Edmonton, Carey Price in Montreal, Connor Hellebuyck in Winnipeg, question mark in Toronto. That's really where the Canadian division is at right now with their goaltending. So yeah, it could be advantage Winnipeg, because they are, for me, the better of the last three teams. Like, Toronto, I think, is ahead of everybody else. But with that question mark in net, I think now you got to give the edge to Winnipeg. And if they make a move or two, then I think Winnipeg will be very, very tough in the playoffs. They play a heavy style game. Last night's game was good. They had a bad second period, but I think they played really well. Their penalty kill was good. Hellebuyck was awesome on that overtime penalty kill. So I think they put the doubt into Toronto with that game last night.
Marty B. Ron is a MSG, TSN, and RDS analyst. He's joining us from the woods, so we'll let him get back to getting on.
Yeah, get back in that car, Marty.
Yeah. Marty, we appreciate
it.
Thanks.
And my chainsaw.
Thanks so much, Marty.
Thanks for stealing some Wi-Fi for us, Marty. There he goes. Marty B. Ron, we'll do it again soon. Take care, Marty. There, Marty B. Ron joining
he's
us.
He's the best. Like, he's been on the show so many times, and the fact he's obviously a busy guy, and it's just awesome that he would do that. He has an axe with him. That was amazing.
And exactly. the fact that he went to a business and stole their Wi-Fi, brilliant.
Yeah. I appreciate that level of dedication. I'm not sure I would have done that for you guys. If I wasn't hardwired into my Wi-Fi right now, I'm not sure I would be bothering to really seek out to spend more time with you guys.
As he's hardwired into my Wi-Fi, which is why he's a lot more clear than when he does his post-game shows, which is usually a little more grainy.
Yeah, well, we'll work on the, there's only so much you can do with Ezzy there, Dave. We got to throw him a bone every now and then.
He's using that high quality Central Heights Wi-Fi as opposed to that poor Southern River Heights Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you both are living the hard life, undoubtedly. Let's take our final commercial break. We'll come back. We'll do a wrap. We'll talk about the week that's ahead for the Winnipeg Jets. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whitened my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go,
"We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?"
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. One final segment on this Saturday morning. It's brought to you by our good friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. As we announced last week on the show, Rumors is reopening on May the 11th. That's just a little bit more than a month from now. It's going to be their annual roast battle. 16 of Winnipeg's best comics will be roasting each other in a bracket championship format. Tickets available right now at rumorscomedyclub.com. Rumors, of course, taking all of the necessary COVID protocols, COVID precautions into place. They're so excited to be reopening. We encourage you, get out, laugh, do it in a safe manner. That's going to be at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Coming up May 11th is when they're going to reopen.
And boys, all of my money, which is $11.36, is going on Benji Rothman in that roast battle. It's all on you, Benji.
Who gave you $11.36? That's what I want to know.
That was $11.35 more than I thought he had.
Yeah, it's my leftover allowance from Naomi.
If you want to laugh about something, Cap Friendly, just depth charts, just tweeted out a random stat of the day. Tristan Jarry, Penguins goaltender, has more assists this season than Taylor Hall has goals. 3-2. Talk about random.
That is random. I got to tell you, it's random that, you know, a goalie really, you know, has that many assists. That's a lot of assists in the
season. It is a lot of assists. It is. I think Connor Hellebuyck has 7 total in his career. So
yeah,
three in the season is pretty good.
Tristan Jarry has 3 and Taylor Hall has 2 goals. That is a very random. A very random stat, Dave. You are correct about that.
And hold on, who has the record for all time assists amongst goalies?
Marty Berger.
Why don't you tell us?
No.
Eric Sajak.
Ronnie Hextall.
No.
Who? Ken Dryden.
No.
Who is it?
Think
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Yeah. Tom Barrasso.
Tom Barrasso.
Oh. I was going to guess, what's the name in Dallas?
Marty Turco?
Yeah, Marty Turco, because he was really good with the puck. No.
Tommy Barrasso.
You know, talking about goaltenders playing the puck, Connor Hellebuyck is playing the puck more often this year with more confidence. Mm-hmm. You know, you see him being more aggressive with some of his puck handling and with some of his breakouts than you have in years past. I mean, I don't think that he's necessarily crisp. I wouldn't say that he's you know exquisite with his puck handling by any stretch of the imagination, but he's definitely working on it, and you can see that he's more confident in doing it in the way he handles it during the game.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And you're right, Drew. He's not, he's not Mike Smith, right? Marty talked about Mike Smith. Mike Smith is one of the best goalies in playing the puck. So he's not one of those kind of natural, puck handling, goaltenders. And you got to think that, he works on it, with Wade Flaherty a little bit in practice and in the off season. Right. So, yeah, I have noticed that as well. And even if you're able to, play the puck once or twice a game, that can be the difference, right? If it helps a breakout or, something along those lines. So, it's a good observation on your part, because that goaltenders work on that. It's something that goaltenders definitely work on.
Yeah, you can see that it's probably I think it's, you know, we know how hard Connor Hellebuck works, and I have to assume that it was a point of pride for him to try and improve that. I see a lot of people in the chat still saying that he still scares me with his puck handling, and Matthew Thompson saying he still holds his breath. Matt Reimer, Hellebuck still scares me when handling the puck. It's funny, I understand where they're coming from with that sentiment, because he doesn't, it's not necessarily pretty, but it's better. Because before, he'd go back and play the puck, and you'd be like, get back in the net immediately, Connor. Don't even bother. Don't do it. Just stay in the net. That's where you're best. This year, the improvements, I think, are evident. At least they have been to some extent. I mean, it's still a high bar. He's got to work towards being, towards the top in the league. But he's no longer, I think, a tire fire with the puck behind his net.
Think about it, guys. He's won a Vezina trophy. He's been a finalist twice, right? And he obviously lost to Pekka. Speaking of, good puck handling goaltenders. So imagine if he's able to even be 20% or 30% better. Like, that's the scary part, right? Like, Marty Brodeur won the Vezina. I still think he is, top three goaltender of all time. He is the best puck handling goaltender of all time. But just think about that. Like, he is the best. And that's an element of his game that's a little bit weak. So he's always trying to get better. That's great.
Let me ask you guys this question before we wrap up for this Saturday morning. We remind you that on Monday, the post-game show will be on right after the Jets and the Senators. It's a 6 o'clock puck drop here in Winnipeg. Post-game show probably right around 8:30. But while you're here, just subscribe to our YouTube channel. Hit the hit the reminder button.
No, don't hit it. Smash.
Ring the bell.
Give us a thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel. You'll get alerted each and every time we go live here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and the Illegal Curve post-game show come Monday night. So we'll see you about 8:30 on Monday night. Between now and next Saturday, when we're back on air with the flagship show, the flagship program of Illegal Curve Hockey, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, will the Jets have made a move? Will they have made a trade between now and next Saturday?
Is that a rhetorical question?
No. Why would it be rhetorical?
I was going to say, it'd be kind of the opposite of doing a show.
You're kind of a rhetorical guy.
Well, no, it was a legitimate question. Do you think that the trade for the Jets will happen between now and next Saturday?
Oh, I just wasn't sure if that was being asked to us or if it was just being asked to, as philosophically, I wasn't sure. But I wasn't
asking it to myself.
Yes, there will be a trade between now and April 12th. I do think Chevy is on the phones. I think he's talking. He's having those conversations. And I do think that there is going to be a defenseman acquired by the Jets.
Okay, so as he's saying that between now and next Saturday, there will be...
Maybe a forward.
He didn't answer your question properly, because you actually asked between now and next Saturday, and as he said, between now and April 12th. He kind of punted on that one. And
Dave, I have low expectations for his reading, for his listening comprehension.
Lowered expectations. I do think it's going to happen before next Saturday.
Yeah, I have a feeling as well. I think that you're probably going to see a depth addition. I don't think he's going big game hunting. I don't even know if there is big game hunting to be had this season, to be honest, based on how everything's going. And I think part of the reason we're not seeing it now, I think part of the reason why it's dragging is because teams like Nashville are rolling. And again, Columbus, a lot of people pointing this out, Jack Roslovic, and we talked about it, was a healthy scratch, or is going to be a healthy scratch tonight. They're going with Delzato as a seventh defenseman.
Boy, is that an insult. If John Tortorella is electing to use Michael Delzato and go with seven defensemen as opposed to playing you, that is a...
It's a statement.
That's a statement that, first of all, John Tortorella is leaving with no bleeps given on his way out in Columbus. And it's also what's that?
You don't have to bleep yourself. I mean, we're a quasi-family show, but you don't really have to bleep yourself.
I just didn't want to use that word right now. It's, you never know who's listening. Kids listening. My friend, my friend texted me the other day saying he walked into his son's room.
Actually, we do have young fans. I know a friend of mine's kid also.
Watch your language, Drew.
So. Yeah. My friend texted me. He walked into his son's room yesterday or earlier this week, and his son was sitting in front of his Chromebook, and he was watching the Illegal Curve postgame show. So I want to make sure that he can continue to keep doing that. I don't want to use any curse words in front of impressionable.
Anyways,
how old is he? 10 years old.
Jerry Seinfeld doesn't curse in his routine. You know that, Drew. Like, we don't need to curse. That's not part of the show.
So
I've never cursed. I've been doing the show for 12 years. Not one swear word.
Not the least bit true. When we were on Kick FM,
you never swore.
You did. I'll tell you exactly when it happened. We were live on air. Shocking. And your good buddy, and a friend of the show, Dave Shore, walked in behind you and you didn't know he was there and he scared you by grabbing your chair while you were in the middle of a sentence and you said, oh, you know, bleep. And that was the one and only time I believe that you've sworn on air.
Well, I've never, since we were on Sports Radio 1290, TSN 1290, I never swore. So that's maybe true. Back on the Kick FM days, I apologize to the CRTC.
Anyways, look, I actually think the Jets will make a depth move. I do think that they're going to probably try and go out there and make a signing. So I would be surprised if they don't. But again, like I said, I think part of the problem is that teams are still in it, right? Like you've got a lot of hard charge towards the deadline. So we'll see what happens in that regard, because if the prices are ridiculous, then like we talked about with Lee Hextall, do you just allow your internal options, your Ville Heinolas, your Sammy Nikus, your Dylan Sambergs, if you need to, I guess a Nelson Noje who's on the taxi squad, do you let those guys just come in and not necessarily, if you need them, be the depth and you just trust what you have?
Again, you know, I just wanted to say, Dave, there's a few people in the chat that are talking about Dmitry Kulikov. Like, I actually wouldn't have an issue if he's brought in as like an eighth or ninth defenseman. Like, he's not going to cost you anything. Like, what are you going to have to give up to acquire Kulikov, a sixth rounder?
Yeah, I can't imagine it would cost you very much.
I can't see it coming. I can't see it happening. But, you know, stranger things have happened. Certainly the Jets.
It's actually been pretty good in New Jersey.
With the loss of Nathan Beaulieu, the Jets probably, as we talked about back in hour number one, in the market for a depth defenseman. Before we leave today, I want to give a shout out to St. Adolphe, Manitoba. They're one of the four cities vying for Kraft Hockeyville. Want to encourage everybody to go vote for St. Adolphe. Voting doesn't open until April 9th, which is, if my math tells me, 6 days from now, next Friday at 8 a.m. Central, crafthockeyville.ca. Make sure you vote for our friends in St. Adolphe, Manitoba. Make sure that they are awarded the title of Kraft Hockeyville 2021. Big thank you to everybody who joined us today on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. The chat was active. So great to see so many of you that join us each and every time we go live here on our YouTube channel. Want to give a shout out to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Boston Pizza. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. Whatever you're celebrating this week, the end of Passover, Easter weekend, we hope that it's an important one to you. We hope it goes the best it can. Try and stay safe, everybody. We know that the time is, you know, everybody wants to get back together. We need to stay apart for just a little while longer. For Ezra Ginsberg, for Dave Minuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
No penalties here. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast with Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Minuk.